ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदः मायं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपरकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगना रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं साद्वधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपरं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणसिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपसन्नभेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गराधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे गो प्रेमानन्दे हरि बो ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज एंड वेलकम टू टुनाइट्स रीडिंग अबाउट द डिवाइन क्वालिटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंड देयर आर क्वालिटीज इन द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड एंड वैरायटी इज सेड टू बी द स्पाइस ऑफ लाइफ the mother of enjoyment. We're all looking for qualities. In fact, there's a formula that broadcasters have when programming for TV or radio, and that is they try to look for variety. And another point is when they're writing plays and scripts for shows, they try to bring in characters. Characters means people that are very interesting. People don't just like regular, normal, boring people, but they like interesting people with lots of exceptional qualities. And that's what they like to watch. And the reason they like it is because it comes from Krishna originally. He has the most extraordinary qualities of all. Now, one can either be attracted to the qualities of the material world, which tend to be disappointing because they're only reflections of the original qualities of Krishna, or one can transfer, as Srila Prabhupada says, one's attention towards the qualities of Krishna in the spiritual world, in which case one will get the actual satisfaction one's looking for. Minus that, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Yene rivindaksha vimuktamaninas toyastabhavad avashuddha buddhaya. Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yushvarangrayaha. That because one hasn't attached oneself to the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna and actually become attached emotionally to Krishna by hearing about those qualities, because after all, he's a person. And when we hear the qualities of a person, we tend to become attached to them. People hear about musicians, poets, politicians, all kinds of people in this material world, and even before meeting them, they become attached. They even put up posters in their room and think about them, talk about them, and so forth. Same process in bhakti, only we're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by hearing the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, one will become enchanted by them, and by hearing repeatedly, one begins to develop a taste for hearing about them, and after hearing for a long time, one develops a relationship, or at least desires to have a relationship, and that relationship will manifest by hearing and over a long period of time. Satam prasam mama virya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata taj joshanat ashwapavargavartani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishriti. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido. So by hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, then naturally one becomes divested of one's interest in the material world, and that changes one's trajectory. And then one gets on the progressive path, which starts with Shraddha or faith. One decides to invest one's heart into the process of devotional service and wants to meet Krishna. Shraddha Ratir, and then Rati means that one actually develops some deep affection and attachment for Krishna, and then Bhakti. One's relationship with Krishna becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So tonight we're going to hear straight from the nectar of devotion about the qualities of Krishna. And I'm going to be reading from chapter 21, Nectar of Devotion. Chapter 21, Qualities of Sri Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Personal features can be divided into two. One feature is covered, and the other feature is manifested. When Krishna is covered by different kinds of dress, his personal feature is covered. There is an example of his covered personal feature in Srimad Bhagavatam in connection to his Dwarka Lila, his residence in Dwarka as its king. Sometimes Lord Krishna began to play by dressing himself like a woman. Seeing this form, Uddhava said, "How wonderful it is that this woman is attracting my ecstatic love, exactly as Lord Krishna does. I think she must be Krishna covered by the dress of a woman." One devotee praised the bodily features of Krishna when he saw the Lord in his manifested personal feature. He exclaimed, "How wonderful is the personal feature of Lord Krishna! How his neck is just like a conch shell. His eyes are so beautiful, as though they themselves were encountering the beauty of a lotus flower. His body is just like a tamal tree, very blackish. His head is protected with a canopy of hair. There are the marks of Srivatsa on his chest, and he is holding his conch shell. By such beautiful bodily features, the enemy of the demon of Madhu has appeared so pleasing that he can bestow upon me transcendental bliss simply by my seeing his transcendental qualities." Srila Rupa Goswami, after consulting various scriptures, has enumerated the transcendental qualities of the Lord as follows. 1. Beautiful features of the entire body. 2. Marked with all auspicious characteristics. 3. Extremely pleasing. 4. Effulgent. 5. Strong. 6. Ever youthful. 7. Wonderful linguist. 8. Truthful. 9. Talks pleasingly. 10. Fluent. 11. Highly learned. 12. Highly intelligent. 16. A genius. 14. Artistic. 15. Extremely clever. 16. Expert. 17. Grateful. 18. Firmly determined. 19. An expert judge of time and circumstances. 20. Sees and speaks on the authority of Vedas or scriptures. 21. Pure. 22. Self-controlled. 23. Steadfast. 24. Forbearing. 25. Forgiving. 26. Grave. 27. Self-satisfied. 28. Possessing equilibrium. 29. Magnanimous. 30. Religious. 31. Heroic. 32. Compassionate. 33. Respectful. 34. Gentle. 35. Liberal. 36. Shy. 37. The protector of surrendered souls. 38. Happy. 39. The well-wisher of devotees. 40. Controlled by love. 41. All auspicious. 42. Most powerful. 43. All famous. 44. Popular. 45. Partial to devotees. 46. Very attractive to all women. 47. All worshipable. 48. All opulent. 49. All honorable. 50. The supreme controller. The supreme personality of God has all these 50 transcendental qualities in fullness, as deep as the ocean. In other words, the extent of his qualities is inconceivable. As parts and parcels of the supreme Lord, the individual living entities can also possess all of these qualities in minute quantities, provided they become pure devotees of the Lord. In other words, all of the above transcendental qualities can be present in the devotees in minute quantity, whereas the qualities in fullness are always present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Besides these, there are other transcendental qualities which are described by Lord Shiva to Parvati in the Padma Purana and in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with a conversation between the deity of the earth and the king of religion, Yamaraj. It is said therein, persons who are desirous of becoming great personalities must be decorated with the following qualities: truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, perseverance, renunciation, peacefulness, simplicity, control of the senses, equilibrium of the mind, austerity, memory, independence, tactfulness, luster, patience, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, mannerliness, steadiness, faithfulness, fame, respectfulness, and lack of false egotism. Persons who are desiring to become great souls cannot be without any of the above qualities, so we can know for certain that these qualities are found in Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Besides all of the above-mentioned 50 qualities, Lord Krishna possesses 5 more, which are sometimes partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. These transcendental qualities are as follows. 51, changeless. 52, all-cognizant. 53, ever-fresh. 54, Sakchidananda, possessing an eternal blissful body. 55, possessing all mystic perfections. Krishna also possesses 5 other qualities, which are manifest in the body of Narayan, and they are listed as follows. 56, he has inconceivable potency. 57, uncountable universes generate from his body. 58, he is the original source of all incarnations. 59, he is the giver of salvation to the enemies whom he kills. 60, he is the attractor of liberated souls. All these transcendental qualities are manifest wonderfully in the personal feature of Lord Krishna. Besides these 64 transcendental qualities, Krishna has 4 more, which are not manifest even in the Narayan form of Godhead. What to speak of the demigods or living entities? They are as follows. 61. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. 62. He is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. 63. He can attract all living entities all over the universes by playing on his flute. 64. He has a wonderful excellence of beauty which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. Adding to the list these 4 exceptional qualities of Krishna, it is to be understood that the aggregate number that the aggregate number of qualities of Krishna is 64. Adding to the list 4 exceptional qualities, these four exceptional qualities of Krishna, it is to be understood that the aggregate number of qualities of Krishna is 64. Srila Rupa Goswami has attempted to give evidences from various scriptures about all 64 qualities present in the person of the Supreme Lord. 1. Beautiful bodily features. Any comparison of the different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. His thighs are powerful, just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like 2 pillars. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His chest is just like a doorway. His hips are dens, and the middle of his body is a terrace. 2. Auspicious characteristics. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaj, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, "My dear King of the Cowherds, I can find 32 auspicious symptoms on the body of your son. I'm wondering how this boy could have taken birth in a family of cowherd men. Generally, when Lord Krishna appears, he does so in a family of Kshatriyas, kings, as did Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmanas. But Krishna accepted the role of son to Maharaj Nanda, despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community. The business of the Vaishya community is trade, commerce, and the protection of cows. Therefore, his friend, who may have been born in a Brahmin family, expressed his wonder at how such an exalted child could take birth in a family of Vaishyas. Anyway, he pointed out the auspicious signs on the body of Krishna to the boy's foster father. He continued, "This boy has a reddish luster in seven places. His eyes, the ends of his hands, the ends of his legs, his palate, his lips, his tongue, and his nails. A reddish luster in these seven places is considered to be auspicious. Three parts of his body are very broad, his waist, forehead, and chest. Three parts of his body are short, his neck, thighs, and genitals. Three parts of his body are very deep, his voice, intelligence, and navel. There is highness in five parts of his body, his nose, arms, ears, forehead, and thighs. In five parts of his body there is fineness, his skin, the hairs on his head, and on the other parts of his body, his teeth and his fingertips. The aggregate of all these bodily features is manifest only in the bodies of great personalities. The fate lines on the palm are also considered to be auspicious bodily symptoms. In this connection, one old gopi, informed King Nanda, "Your son possesses various wonderful fate lines on his palms. They are the signs of lotus flowers and wheels on his palms. And on his soles, there are the signs of a flag, a thunderbolt, a fish, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower. Please observe how auspicious these signs are." Number three, pleasing. Beautiful bodily features which automatically attract the eyes are called ruchira, pleasing. Krishna possesses this attractive feature of ruchira in his personal features. In the third canto, second chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his pleasing dress, appeared at the scene of the sacrificial arena where King Yudhishthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. All important personalities from different parts of the universe had been invited to the sacrificial arena, and all of them, upon beholding Krishna there, considered that the Creator had ended all of his craftsmanship in the creation of this particular body of Krishna. It is said that the transcendental body of Krishna resembles the lotus flower in eight parts, namely his face, his two eyes, his two hands, his navel, and his two feet. The gopis and inhabitants of Vrindavan used to see the luster of lotus flowers everywhere, and they could hardly withdraw their eyes from such a vision. Number four, effulgent. The effulgence pervading the universe is considered to be the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The supreme abode of Krishna is always throwing off the effulgence known as Brahmajyoti, and that effulgence is emanating from his body. The luster of the hosts of jewels fixed on the chest of the Lord can defeat even the luster of the sun. And still, when compared with the bodily luster of the Lord, that crest of jewels appears to be only as bright as one of the stars in the sky. Therefore, the transcendental influence of Krishna is so great that it can defeat anyone. When Krishna was present in the sacrificial arena of his enemy, King Kamsa, the wrestlers present, although appreciating the softness of the body of Sri Krishna, were afraid and perturbed when they thought of engaging with him in battle. 5. Strong. A person who has extraordinary bodily strength is called Balyan. When Krishna killed Arishtasura, some of the gopis said, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna has killed Arishtasura. Although he was stronger than a mountain, Krishna plucked him up just like a piece of cotton and threw him away without any difficulty." There is another passage wherein it is said, "Oh, my dear devotees of Lord Krishna, may the left hand of Lord Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, save you from all dangers." 6. Ever youthful. Krishna is beautiful at his different ages, namely his childhood, his boyhood, and his youth. Out of these three, his youth is the reservoir of all pleasures and is the time when the highest varieties of devotional service are acceptable. At that age, Krishna is full with all transcendental qualities and is engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, devotees have accepted the beginning of his youth as the most attractive feature in ecstatic love. At this age, Krishna is described as follows. The force of Krishna's youth was combined with his beautiful smile, which defeated even the beauty of the full moon. He was always nicely dressed, in beauty surpassing even Cupid, and he was always attracting the minds of the gopis, who were thereby always feeling pleasure. 7. Wonderful linguist. Rupa Goswami says that a person who knows the languages of different countries, especially the Sanskrit language, which is spoken in the cities of the demigods, as well as other worldly languages, including those of the animals, is called a wonderful linguist. It appears from this statement that Krishna can also speak and understand the languages of the animals. An old woman in Vrindavan, present at the time of Krishna's pastimes, once stated in surprise, "How wonderful it is that Krishna, who owns the hearts of all the young girls of Rajabhumi, can nicely speak the language of Rajabhumi with the gopis, while in Sanskrit he speaks with the demigods, and in the language of the animals he can even speak with the cows and buffalo. Similarly, in the language of the Kashmir province, and with the parrots and other birds, as well as in most common languages, Krishna is so expressive." She inquired from the gopis as to how Krishna had become so expert in speaking so many different types of languages. 8. Truthful. A person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring her 5 sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. After the battle was finished, when all the Pandavas had come home, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. She said, "Even the sunshine may one day become cool and the moonshine one day become hot, but still your promise will not fail." Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna present along with the 2 Pandavas. The story is that both Krishna and the Pandavas, in this case Bhima and Arjuna, were Kshatriyas, warrior kings. Jarasandha was also a Kshatriya and was very charitable toward the Brahmanas. Thus Krishna, who had planned to fight with Jarasandha, went to him with Bhima and Arjuna in the dress of Brahmanas. Jarasandha, being very charitable toward the Brahmanas, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with him. Then Krishna, dressed as a Brahmana, declared himself to be the same Krishna who is the king's eternal enemy. 9. Pleasing talker. A person who can speak sweetly even with his enemy just to pacify him is called a pleasing talker. Krishna was such a pleasing talker that after defeating his enemy, Kaliya, in the water of the Jamuna, he said, "My dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place." Kaliya was residing within the water of the Jamuna, and as a result, the back portion of that river had become poisoned. Thus, so many cows who had drunk the water had died. Therefore, Krishna, who even, therefore Krishna, even though he was only 4 or 5 years old, dipped himself into the water, punished Kaliya very severely, and then asked him to leave the place and go elsewhere. Krishna said at that time that the cows are worshipped even by the demigods, and he practically demonstrated how to protect the cows. At least people who are in Krishna consciousness should follow in his footsteps and give all protection to the cows. Cows are worshipped not only by the demigods. Krishna himself worshipped the cows on several occasions, especially on the days of Gopashtami and Govardhana Puja. 10. Fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words and with all politeness and good qualities is called Vavaduka, or fluent. There's a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god, Indra, a wife of one of the village cowherd men, when Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god, Indra, a wife of one village cowherd man became captivated. She later thus described the speaking of Krishna to her friends. Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if he were pouring nectar into the ears of all present there. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? Krishna's speech, which contains all good qualities in the universe, is described in the following statement by Uddhava. The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart of even his opponent. His words can immediately solve all of the questions and problems of the world. Although he does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meaning. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart. 11. Highly learned. When a person is highly educated and acts strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned. A person conversant in different departments of knowledge is called educated. And because he acts on moral principles, he is called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute learning. Krishna's receiving education from Sandipani Muni is described by Sri Narada Muni as follows. In the beginning, Lord Brahma and others are like clouds of evaporated water from the great ocean of Krishna. In other words, Brahma first received the Vedic education from Krishna, as the clouds receive water from the ocean. That Vedic education or instruction, which was spoken by Brahma to the world, was then reposed upon the mountain of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni's instructions to Krishna are like a reservoir of water on the mountain, which flows as a river and goes again to mix with the source, the ocean of Krishna. To be more clear, the idea is that Krishna actually cannot be instructed by anyone, just as the ocean does not receive water from any source but itself. It only appears that the rivers are pouring water into the ocean. So it is clear that Brahma received his education from Krishna, and from Brahma, via the disciplic succession, this Vedic instruction was distributed. Sandipani Muni is likened to the river, which is flowing down again to that same original ocean of Krishna. The Siddhas, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, where all are born with fully developed mystic powers, and the Charanas, the inhabitants of a similar planet, pray to Krishna as follows. My Lord Govinda, the goddess of learning, is decorated with 14 kinds of educational ornaments. Her intelligence is all-pervading within the 4 departments of the Vedas. Her attention is always on the law books given by great sages like Manu, and she is appareled in 6 kinds of expert knowledge, namely Vedic evidence, grammar, astrology, rhetoric, vocabulary, and logic. Her constant friends are the supplements of the Vedas, the Puranas, and she is decorated with the final conclusion of all education. And now she has acquired an opportunity to sit with you as a class friend in school, and she is now engaged in your service. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not require any education, but he gives a chance to the goddess of learning to serve him. Being self-sufficient, Krishna does not require the service of any living entity, although he has many devotees. It is because Krishna is so kind and merciful that he gives everyone the opportunity to serve him, as though he required the service of his devotees. Regarding his moral principles, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is ruling over Vrindavan as death personified to the thieves, as pleasing bliss to the pious, as the most beautiful Cupid to the young girls, and as the most munificent personality to the poor men. He is as refreshing as the full moon to his friends, and to his opponents he is the annihilating fire generated from Lord Shiva. Krishna is therefore the most perfect moralist in his reciprocal dealings with different kinds of persons. When he is death personified to the thieves, it is not that he is without moral principles or that he is cruel. He is still kind because to punish thieves with death is to exhibit the highest quality of moral principles. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that he deals with different kinds of persons according to their dealings with him. Krishna's dealings with devotees and with non-devotees, although different, are equally good. Because Krishna is all good, his dealings with everyone are always good. 12. Highly intelligent. A man is called intelligent if he has a sharp memory and fine discretion. As far as Krishna's memory is concerned, it is said that when he was studying in the school of Sandipani Muni in Avantipur, he showed such a sharp memory that by once taking instructions from the teacher, he immediately became perfect in any subject. Actually, his going to the school of Sandipani Muni was to show the people of the world that however great or ingenious one may be, he must go to higher authorities for general education. However great one may be, he must accept a teacher or spiritual master. Krishna's fine discretion was exhibited when he was fighting with the untouchable king who attacked the city of Mathura. According to Vedic rites, those who are untouchable are not to be touched for the Kshatriya kings, not even for killing. Therefore, when the untouchable king seized the city of Mathura, Krishna did not think it wise to kill him directly with his own hand. Still, the king had to be killed, and therefore Krishna decided with fine discretion that he should flee from the battlefield so that the untouchable king would chase him. He could then lead the king to the mountain where Muchukunda was lying asleep. Muchukunda had received a benediction from Kartikeya to the effect that when he awoke from his sleep, whomever he might see would at once be burned to ashes. Therefore, Krishna thought it wise to lead the untouchable king to that cave so that the king's presence would awaken Muchukunda and he would at once be burned to ashes. Genius. A person is called a genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there is a statement in Padyavali, which contains the following conversation between Krishna and Radha. One morning, when Krishna came to see Radha, Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where is your vasa at present?" The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings. One meaning is resident, one meaning is fragrance, and the other meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment, my residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vasa as fragrance and said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yaminya mushitaha. Yaminya means at night, and ushita means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word yaminya mushita into two separate words, namely yaminya and mushitaha. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna, therefore, replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In other words, in this way, He was answering all of the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened this dearest of the gopis. Artistic. One who can talk and dress himself very artistically is called Vidugdha. This exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Sri Krishna. It is spoken of by Radharani as follows. My dear friend, just see how Krishna has nicely composed songs and how he dances and speaks funny words and plays on his flute, wearing such nice garlands. He has dressed himself in such an enchanting way, as though he had defeated all kinds of players at the chessboard. He lives wonderfully at the topmost height of artistic craftsmanship. Fifteen, clever. A person who can perform various types of work at once is called clever. In this connection, one of the gopis said, "My dear friends, just see the clever activities of Sri Krishna. He has composed nice songs about the cowherd boys and is pleasing the cows. By the movement of his eyes, he is pleasing the gopis, and at the same time, he is fighting with demons like Arishtasura. In this way, he is sitting with different living entities in different ways, and he is thoroughly enjoying the situation." 16. Expert. Any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is called expert. About the expertise of Krishna, there is a statement in the 10th canto, 59th chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharishi Parikshit, "O best of the Kurus, Sri Krishna cut to pieces all the different weapons used by different fighters. Formerly, fighting was done by releasing different kinds of arrows. One party would release a certain arrow, and the other party had to defeat it by counteracting it with another arrow. For example, one party might release an arrow which would cause water to pour from the sky, and to counteract this, the opposing party would have to release an arrow which could immediately turn the water into clouds. So from this statement, it appears that Krishna was very expert in counteracting the enemy's arrows. Similarly, at the Rasa dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner. And Krishna immediately expanded himself into so many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side." 17. Grateful. Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, "When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, 'Hey Govinda, this call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart.'" This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, "Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda." The Mahamantra, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare," is also simply an address to the Lord and his energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. Another instance of Krishna's feeling of obligation is stated in connection with his dealings with Jambavan. When the Lord was present as Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan, the great king of the monkeys, rendered very faithful service to him. When the Lord again appeared as Lord Krishna, he married Jambavan's daughter and paid him all the respect that is usually given to superiors. Any honest person is obliged to his friend if some service has been rendered unto him. Since Krishna is the supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitor? 18. Determined. Any person who observes regulative principles and fulfills his promises by practical activity is called determined. As far as the Lord's determination is concerned, there is an example in his dealings in the Harivamsa. This is in connection with Lord Krishna's fighting the King of Heaven, Indra, who was forcibly deprived of the Parijata flower. Parijata is a kind of lotus flower grown on the heavenly planets. Once Satyabhama, one of Krishna's queens, wanted that lotus flower, and Krishna promised to deliver it, but Indra refused to part with his Parijata flower. Therefore, there was a great fight with Krishna and the Pandavas on one side and all of the demigods on the other. Ultimately, Krishna defeated all of them and took the Parijata flower, which he presented to his queen. So, in regard to that occurrence, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, "My dear great sage of the demigods, now you can declare to the devotees in general and to the devotees in particular that in this matter of taking the Parijata flower, all the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Nagas, the demon Rakshasas, the Yakshas, the Panagas, tried to defeat me, but none could make me break my promise to my queen." There is another promise by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita to the effect that his devotee will never be vanquished. So a sincere devotee who is always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord should know for certain that Krishna will never break his promise. He will always protect his devotees in every circumstance. Krishna showed how he fulfills his promise by delivering the Parijata flower to Satyabhama, by saving Draupadi from being insulted, and from freeing Arjuna from the attacks of all enemies. The promise of Krishna that his devotees are never vanquished had also previously been admitted by Indra when he was defeated in the Govardhan Lila. When Krishna stopped the villagers of Braja, Vrindavan, from worshipping Indra, Indra became angry and therefore inundated Vrindavan with continuous rain. Krishna, however, protected all the citizens and animals of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill, which served as an umbrella. After the incident was over, Indra surrendered to Krishna with many prayers, in which he admitted, "By your lifting Govardhan Hill and protecting the citizens of Vrindavan, you have kept your promise that your devotees are never to be vanquished." 19. Expert judge of time and circumstances. Krishna was very expert in dealing with people according to circumstances, country, time, and paraphernalia. How he could take advantage of a particular time, circumstance, and person is expressed by him while talking to Uddhava about his rasa dance with the gopis. He says, "The most opportune time is the full moon night in autumn, like tonight. The best place within the universe is Vrindavan, and the most beautiful girls are the gopis. So, my dear friend Uddhava, I think I should now take advantage of all these circumstances and engage myself in the rasa dance." 20. Seer by authority of the scriptures. A person who acts exactly according to the tenets of scripture is called Shastra Chakshus. Shastra Chakshus means one who sees through the eyes of the authoritative scriptures. Actually, any man of knowledge and experience should see everything through these books. For example, with our naked eye, we perceive the sun globe simply as some glaring substance. But when we see through authorized books of science and other literature, we can understand how much greater the sun globe is than the earth and how powerful it is. So seeing things through the naked eye is not actually seeing. Seeing things through the authorized books or authorized teachers is the correct way to see. So although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can see, all that is past, present, and future, to teach the people in general, he used to always refer to the scriptures. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna was speaking as the supreme authority, he still mentioned and quoted Vedanta Sutra as authority. There is a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein a person jokingly says that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, is known as the seer through the Shastras. In order to establish his authority, however, he is now engaging in seeing the gopis, whereby the gopis are becoming maddened. 21. Pure. There are two kinds of supreme purity. When one type is possessed, one is able to deliver a sinful person. When the other type is possessed, one does not do anything which is impure. A person who possesses either of these qualities is called supremely pure. Krishna is both. He can deliver all sinful conditioned souls, and at the same time, he never does anything by which he can be contaminated. In this connection, Vidura, while trying to detach his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, from his familial attachments, said, "My dear brother, you just fix your mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, who is worshipped with beautiful erudite verses by great sages and saintly persons. Krishna is the supreme deliverer among all deliverers. Undoubtedly, there are great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but their positions as deliverers depends always upon the mercy of Krishna." Therefore, Vidura advised his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to concentrate his mind and worship only Krishna. "If one simply chants the holy name of Krishna, this holy name will rise within one's heart like the powerful sun and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance." Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to therefore think always of Krishna, so that the volumes of contaminations due to sinful activities would be washed off immediately. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, the supreme pure. There are many other instances exhibiting Krishna's supreme purity. 22. Self-controlled. A person who can control his senses fully is called Vashi, or self-controlled. In this connection, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, "All the 16,000 wives of Krishna were so exquisitely beautiful that their smiling and shyness were able to captivate the minds of great demigods like Lord Shiva. But still, they could not even agitate the mind of Krishna in spite of their attractive feminine behavior. Every one of the thousands of wives of Krishna was thinking that Krishna was captivated by her feminine beauty, but this was not the case. Krishna is therefore the supreme controller of the senses, and this is admitted in Bhagavad Gita, where he is addressed as Hrishikesh, the master of the senses. 23. Steadfast. A person who continues to work until his desired goal is achieved is called steadfast. There was a fight between Krishna and King Jambavan, and Krishna was to take the valuable Shyamataka jewel from the king. The king tried to hide himself in the forest, but Krishna would not become discouraged. Krishna finally got the jewel by seeking out the king with great steadfastness. 24. Forbearing. A person who tolerates all kinds of troubles, even though such troubles appear to be unbearable, is called forbearing. When Krishna was residing at the place of his spiritual master, he did not mind taking all troubles in rendering service to his guru, although his body was very soft and delicate. It is the duty of the disciple to execute all services unto the spiritual master, despite all kinds of difficulties. The disciple living at the residence of the spiritual master has to go begging from door to door to bring everything back to the spiritual master. When prasad is being served, the spiritual master is supposed to call each and every disciple to come eat. If by chance the spiritual master forgets to call a disciple to partake of the prasad, it is enjoined in the scriptures that the student should fast on that day rather than accept food on his own initiative. There are many such strictures. Sometimes also Krishna went to the forest to collect dry wood for fuel. 25. Forgiving. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. Lord Krishna's forgiving quality is described in the Shishupal Vada in connection with his forbidding the killing of Shishupal. King Shishupal was the monarch of the Chedi kingdom, and although he happened to be a cousin of Krishna's, he was always envious of him. Whenever they would meet, Shishupal would try to insult Krishna and call him ill names as much as possible. In the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, when Shishupal began to call Lord Krishna ill names, Krishna did not care and remained silent. Some of the people at the arena were prepared to kill Shishupal, but Krishna restricted them. He was so forgiving. It is said that when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, the mighty lion immediately replies with his thundering roar. But the lion doesn't care when all the foolish jackals begin to make their less important sounds. Sri Jamunacharya praises Krishna's power of forgiveness with the following statement. "My dear Lord Ramachandra, you are so merciful to have excused the crows clawing on the nipples of Janaki simply because of his bowing down before you. Once Indra, the king of heaven, assumed the form of a crow and attacked Sita, Janaki, Lord Ramachandra's wife, by striking her on the breast. This was certainly an insult to the universal mother, Sita, and Lord Ramachandra was immediately prepared to kill the crow. But because later on the crow bowed down before the Lord excused his offense. Sri Yamunacharya further says in his prayer that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lives. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. From this, we can understand that the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme is not a very difficult problem. Persons like Shishupal, who are consistently inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. 26. Grave. A person who does not express his mind to everyone, or whose mental activity and plan of action are very difficult to understand, is called grave. After Lord Sri Krishna had been offended by Brahma, Brahma prayed to him to be excused. But in spite of his offering nice prayers to Krishna, Brahma could not understand whether Krishna was satisfied or still dissatisfied. In other words, Krishna was so grave that he did not take the prayers of Brahma very seriously. Another instance of Krishna's gravity is found in connection with his love affairs with Radharani. Krishna was always very silent about his love affairs with Radharani, so much so that Baladev, Krishna's elder brother and constant companion, could not understand the transformations of Krishna on account of his gravity. And now we'll take a few reflections, because there's so many nice things here the devotees might be thinking about and can reflect back in the next 5 minutes.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj. I'll put the session into the Q&A mode.
So what things did you hear that stuck in your mind about Krishna's qualities?
Devotees, you need to press star 6 to enter into the Q&A queue.
Let's discuss Krishna's transcendental qualities.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Preeti Radhika, Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Hare Bo.
Hare Bo Maharaj. What a wonderful hearing and reading at the same time. My favorite part was that Krishna is so giving that when Jambavant had served him in as his Ram avatar, he came back and married the daughter of as Krishna to Jambavant's daughter. That really stuck out to me.
Nice. Yeah, very nice.
Thank
good
you.
One.
Thank you,
thank you, Preeti Radhika. Very good.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we have been waiting for your reading for so long, and I was so happy to read the mail from Shweta Mataji this morning. But the,
sorry for
the main
delay.
Point. Thank you. As just the point that got my attention specifically was how Krishna speaks so pleasingly, and it's so difficult to control our tongue, but. When he killed Kaliya, how it is said that he was so pleasingly explaining him, even to the enemy. It also proves how much he has control over his senses. And not only that, in other place also, when we were talking about how when Krishna speaks, it is very beneficial for everybody. So how by reciting Bhagavad Gita and all that, like Krishna's speech is very auspicious for the world. So that part caught my attention. And also, I was just thinking how Krishna's body is very soft, but the demons find it to be very strong when he fights with them because they don't like it. Like that, Also, the devotees and the spiritual master, we are, like Prabhupada also says that like one has to be fortunate to be corrected by a spiritual master, because otherwise we might think that, because unless we get the correction, which is so hard for our false ego, we may not feel their strength, because from outside we will, unless until the relationship is formal, there may not be purification. So I was just thinking how these qualities that are there in Krishna is also manifested in the devotees, how spiritual master also speaks very pleasingly, and it's beneficial for others, and because of our false ego, the words feels like thunderbolt on us, and how is the Krishna imbibes those qualities within the devotees also. So I was just thinking about that.
Very nice. That was a shower of nectar.
Oh, thank you. For
thank you. Very nice. Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's hard to stop talking about these qualities once we hear them, isn't it? So who else? Who else has some reflection, some quality they remember that stuck in their mind, which is very fortunate, because when we're talking about the qualities of Krishna and then you remember them, it's absolute. You're remembering Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. This is Rajesh.
Hare Krishna, Rajesh. Please go
yes,
ahead.
Maharaj, the one quality, of course, you know, all the qualities were, you know, amazing. But the one which I felt was, you know, in the Sandipriya Muni Ashram when Krishna went to study, it shows, I think, the two things. One is, of course, he was sharp and, you know, whatever is there, he would remember quickly. But as he said in Bhagavad Gita also, that, you know, whatever great people, you know, do, the other normal people follow. So he just went there to set the example. And however advanced one may be, one has to accept a spiritual teacher through which, you know, one can progress. I think that is that really struck me the most today.
Very nice. Yeah, it's especially sweet when Krishna goes back and he meets Sudama Brahman, because they were
right
together in the school. They discuss how they had gone out into the forest and collected wood for the spiritual master, even though there was a storm and they got lost. And then there was a sweetness from the other side, too, that spiritual master had come out looking for them to try to rescue them and so forth. And yes, it's so nice that in all of his different manifestations, when he comes, he always shows the example and accepts a spiritual master for the benefit of everyone. In that same vein, that reminds me of how one of the qualities I heard in the reading tonight, how Krishna quotes from the Vedanta Sutra. So even though he knows past, present, and future, and he's the source of all the Vedas, still to set an example of how to properly conduct oneself and the way in which one should speak in spiritual circles and understand the spiritual science, he would himself, and in the Bhagavad Gita, he quotes Vedanta Sutra. It's said in the Vedanta Sutra, he says, even though Krishna is absolute, whatever he says is Vedanta Sutra. So that's also in a similar vein, isn't it?
Yes, fine.
Setting an example.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rajesh. Nice one. Very good. I like this exercise. Let's hear a few more.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. JP here. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, thanks for the nice class. It's really very nice to be hearing all the qualities of Krishna appearing near his Janmashtami day. One quality which really struck me was how Lord, though he is all-powerful, he has all the qualities, he's still very forgiving. If we get annoyed with someone, like our anger captures our mind, and it takes a lot of time before we are even able to control ourselves. But both as an incarnation of Ram, when he forgave the crow because he surrendered, or as incarnation of Krishna, when he forgave repeatedly Shishupal despite all the offenses, it just struck me that despite all how he is able to forgive, and we still have a long way to go to understand and emulate Krishna.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for remembering that so clearly. Really nice. Yeah, it's one of the qualities of the Brahmana, too, to be forgiving. Such a wonderful quality. to be able to forgive, and Krishna is the source of that good quality. Really nice. Thank you. Let's hear a couple more, just a couple more.
Go ahead. I can't recognize the number. 352-281-2139.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kuladeep Pranadas. I like
Kuladeepa Prana. Hare Krishna.
Actually, I also like the quality of Lord Krishna, that he forgives his enemies even. He was so tolerant that he tolerated Shishupal's envious words, but he kept forgiving him. And also I like the quality that he's so truthful, that whatever he says, he always serves the purpose. Sometimes we see like Krishna, he breaks his promise, but he does it only for the devotees, because he's also very favorable to the devotees, which is one of the qualities you discussed today, among the 64 qualities.
Oh, that's nice.
It is very, very nice and inspiring for all of us. Hare Krishna.
Well done, Kuladeepa Prana. Well done. Very good. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, we should leave it there for tonight, because we're just past the 8:30 mark, and everyone needs to have good rest this week to get ready for the big weekend, because we've got Janmashtami and then Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja on two separate days, Sunday and Monday. And I just remembered when I was reading these qualities that my friend and godbrother, Kritakarma Prabhu, unfortunately passed away about 15 years ago, but I remember whenever I'd go somewhere with him and people would see us wearing dhotis with tilak, and they'd say, "What are you guys?" And he would always answer, he'd say, "Oh, we're devotees of Lord Krishna." He said, "We're devotees of Lord Krishna." And I always thought that was particularly sweet, because it really personalized what we were doing. It's like, yeah, we're Lord Krishna's devotees. And then remembering how Krishna is so personal and his qualities are so wonderful, it just made me feel so good and proud to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. I mean, who else would you be a devotee of besides Lord Krishna? And hearing these qualities reminds us again and again of what a wonderful life it is to just be a devotee of Lord Krishna. So everyone, please dream about all these qualities tonight and talk about them to others, and we'll take it up again as soon as possible and hear more about Krishna's qualities to be announced. Thank you very much for Vancha Kalpaturubhascha Kripasandavevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And now, if you're in a house somewhere, lean out the window and say, Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
And if you're driving down the road in your car, then roll down your windows and yell out, Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much. Go Premanande Haribo.
Haribo.
Thank you so much.